Alright, so Flo is going into tank number one. Inside this tank, you can make out the body of a much smaller spaceship, but still a reasonable size. You see the slightly faded text on its hull, SCS Dyson. Further examination of the ship reveals that it has an airlock on one side, which conveniently has a button next to it. You can see that it's actually glowing very, very faintly.
Okay. Sure. I'll go up and press the button.
All right. So you push the button. The airlock slowly opens up, which sucks in a whole bunch of water, and you're basically kind of sucked inside. The door shuts, and you hear the kind of dull whir of some mechanical noise, at which point the water that kind of splashed in with you begins getting sucked out through some grates in the floor. So okay. You are now inside the SCS Dyson, and it appears to be internally free of water.
Okay, I use my communicator to talk to the crew and say, well, I found the Dyson.
I assume that's coming through mine.
Can you tell if it's in working condition?
Well, I was able to get inside.
That's a good first step.
Can I take my mask off? Is it breathable air in here, I guess?
Yes, you can. And okay. The air is a little thin and ridiculously stale, but yes.
Okay. I'll explore around. Is there, like, what is in my immediate area? I've just exited the airlock.
Yeah, so inside the Dyson, you're very familiar with this because it's effectively identical to the Eureka. You're in here, so there is basically where you're standing, there would be an sort of autonomous EVA pod. Doesn't seem to be here, however. There is a turbo lift off in the corner of the room, which would lead up to the upper deck where the sort of the bridge and the engineering and transporter rooms are.
Okay. That seems like a good destination.
All right. The turbo lift is not functioning. The control panel powering it is completely out, turned off. However, there is just basically a ladder built into the wall of the turbo lift shaft.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. No. I contact Cliffy and say, Cliffy, you got some work to do. You want to come in here? And then
I can't breathe in water.
Get the mask from Drool.
Yeah, let's call Drool back.
Drool has not yet returned. He may be dead.
I have a communicator.
Dead.
I'm not dead. I'm bonding.
Drool, get back here, please.
Can Drool talk to the communicator?
Yeah.
No, you're in water.
It's on his little kind of headset.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a walkie-talkie.
I assume there's enough space between my mouth and air for me to make words.
I just thought it might be a walkie-talkie.
I have a headset on, so.
Mine's a walkie-talkie.
What I look like for just like 1 second, please.
In the meantime, I begrudgingly go up the ladder.
All right. I do the best that I can to get the water buffalo to come with me. But regardless, I do rejoin our friends and really hope that water buffalo joins us too.
It looks completely and utterly disinterested in everything.
Fair enough. All right. I give my oxygen thing to...
I hold up my hand before Drool does that and says... I don't know why. I feel compelled to ask you to try and use this on the water buffalo, and I hand over the utility belt.
Oh. Do I need to go back in now? I can go back
multiple,
in. All right, I go options. Back in to my friend, the water buffalo, who does not see me as a friend, and try to use the utility belt on
it. Are you trying to attach the utility belt to the water buffalo?
I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm communicating.
Use belt on buffalo.
Yeah, you don't have to specify. That's not how text parsers work.
Well, that is how text parsers work.
Sometimes.
So, pardon me. This program is too stupid to glean your desire from such a wonderfully crafted sentence. Please
I asked Beatrice through the communicator, what did you want me to do with this belt and this buffalo?
Well, Beatrice doesn't have a communicator, so you're talking to Flo or somebody.
I got my walkie-talkie on speaker.
Yeah. through Cliffy's speaker walkie-talkie, I say, Beatrice, what did you want me to do with this utility belt and this buffalo?
Bring it back, I guess.
The water buffalo?
No, just the utility. I didn't really have a plan. But thank you for satisfying my curiosity.
So basically you tried to attach the utility belt to the water buffalo, and just this mental thing in your head said, pardon me, this program is too stupid to glean your desire from such a wonderfully crafted sentence. Please try something else. And then the status bar glitched out and gave you 20 points.
Okay. I pocket the utility belt, and then I go back.
You put the belt in your pocket?
Yeah,
it's a belt. Oh,
it's a hot dog.
Where's the belt? Put the hot dog in the holster. Come on. Fastest bun in the West. Come on.
My belt is reserved exclusively for my blasters. All right. Anything else, straight in the pocket.
Can we please get this ship going, please?
Yeah, I'm up at the top of the ladder now, I believe, at this point after.
Alright.
Alright.
Yeah. So you've gotten up here. It's very dark in here, basically. There's very little lighting, and it's like kind of flickering. There's clearly like barely anything keeping this ship going, but something somehow still is. So you get to the bridge, and so far that everything you've seen says that the ship seems to be relatively structurally intact, and you know, you're no Cliffy, but you would say it's potentially still flight worthy. But you know, of course, it's been submerged in water for goodness knows how long, and from the bridge you can see that the view screen on the outside is coated in a very thick layer of algae. And there's probably all sorts of other things that you need to do to get to make things work. Not the least of which is getting rid of the water.
What's the status, Flo?
Yeah, let me check. Are there any kind of logs here or anything?
All the computer systems seem to be generally offline.
Cliffy, can you hurry up and get in here?
Yeah, I mean, can someone hand me a mask?
I've tried so many times to hand you this mask. I was given a utility belt and told go back to the buffalo. I don't know what you want. All
right, I take the mask. I swim down.
Not to the buffalo.
To the Dyson.
Instructions unclear.
I'm going to basically follow the same trajectory that Flo went, unless I see something in particular that catches my eye. I'm not going to be fixing the elevator right now. I assume that would be a long-term project.
Yeah, so you see that the main things that you see is as you approach from the outside, you see that the ionic particle intake manifolds are covered in kind of sand and other gunk. Those will need to be cleaned out. The parts of the ship, mainly the view screen, is covered on the outside by kind of a thick layer of bright orange algae.
Orange algae.
Yep, and it's glowing, actually, very faintly. It provides a nice kind of warm feeling to the inside of this relatively dead ship. And as you go inside, you realize that the power reserves are basically completely drained. It's running on the slimmest margins of reserve power. You're going to need to charge those power cells back up before you can get any of the stuff operational. And one last thing. It's missing a warp motivator.
You can't have a demotivated warp. You'll end up just where you'll just do a fourth dimensional hop right to where you are without that motivation. Basically useless. You'll be cruising at sublight speed. We'll never get anywhere.
I perk up thinking those ships outside. They could probably have what we need. Maybe even more. And I pull out my communicator. Cliff, you remember those ships from before, or that you asked about that I gave you a very confusing answer?
Yeah, I mean, so I haven't told you anything about the status of this ship yet, but you seem to be kind of on the right track. So, yeah, a couple of things.
This ain't my first
one, WD-40. I believe your role as science officer gives you a little bit of biochemistry. We got some orange algae on the windscreen.
Orange
juice. The view screen. It's wind and view, depending on whether or not you're in space. You know, if it comes down to it, we might have to scrub it off, but I was wondering if you could maybe do some chemical analysis on some quick removal, substances that could possibly be generated or collected. Otherwise, we need a warp motivator. Otherwise, we are not getting anywhere, just like anyone else who's not motivated. And also some electricity, some good old-fashioned electricity sources. Did you say that there's two ships outside, but did you say that that other big ship, the Normandy, I believe it must be by process of elimination, we might want to salvage. Which we would say scalvage in the, that's one of those things that we say in the biz too, scalvage, scavenging, scalvaging.
It's a technical term.
Salvaging. Yeah, we might need to take some parts from there to get this thing up and running.
All right. Flo, come back. We need, as Cliffy is working on
I'm
going
to come back. I think we should all
Both
come
of you.
Back.
Cliffy, remember to bring a sample of that up. Algae so that if you want,
okay. I really want to investigate.
I can analyze that for you.
Yeah.
I actually, on our way back, I like just like grab like a little bit of the orange algae. I just kind of like scoop it up. And as we make our way, I'm heading to those ships that Rogers finally let me have a look at. I pass that off to WD-40 for analysis.
All right. So what are we doing first here? Analyzing the.
Yeah, let's do the analysis first.
All right, so WD-40, you analyze that algae, and you think that the best way to eliminate it quickly, it could be scrubbed off. It's safe to touch, obviously, since Cliffy just so brazenly grabbed a hold of it without thinking for a moment that it could be acidic. Or
I got a lot of calluses.
Form.
I'll be fine.
that is how that works.
You think that several concentrated bursts of high energy plasma might be a good way of removing it.
I think I can provide that. Am I picking up what you're putting down correctly? I can provide that.
Yes.
I can't guarantee to provide it because my gun's on random mode.
But just shoot it over and over.
It's one third chance that I'll be able to provide that.
Yeah, and WD-40 as well, you've been noticing for a while that you've been getting a lot of weird interference in your sensors, and you think that that's because there may be a large source of electrical power just above these tanks.
Okay, so if I look above them, can I see somewhere they connect or
You can't see anything from here, but perhaps that you're pretty confident based on the scans that you're running that there is high voltage electricity, probably in cables or some other form, running around through the ceiling of this area and probably directly over the tanks.
Mm-hmm. That sounds dangerous.
So we wanna see what happens when we disconnect the power from these.
From what?
The tanks.
From whatever it's... Oh, I see. The power is not... Well, actually, I guess it would be going to probably, it's probably being used for the lights and other such things in the to illuminate what's in the tanks. And, you know, various heaters, etc., just general upkeep, pumps.
You might kill the water buffalo if you do.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Okay.
Let's check out these fancy ships that, as far as I know, are just normal ships and don't have anything related to time travel, because that would be crazy. So I'm standing out by these ships with Roger and whoever else would like to join us, I assume. So I got to tell you, Raj.
I gotta tell you, Raj.
I head out there too, and I recommend before we get out there, for Drool to have a pistol at the ready, because there is still one other cyborg goon on the loose.
Way ahead of you. My pistol is never not ready.
It's funny that you mention that. As you're heading out there, you see the other sequel policeman standing there, clutching the headless body of his comrade. And shaking him, like, who did this to you?
I don't think he's gonna get an answer.
I don't either.
Do we have...
He does. He starts shaking him harder.
Do we have another Buckazoid to buy another,
We do. Beatrice took it from the couch cushions.
Oh, yeah.
I also believe that the soda shop is on the other side of the door that these two are... Or perhaps 1¾... people are currently next to.
Yeah. He turns, hearing you converse, and he says, I know that voice. Roger, what the hell did you do to my friend? Now I have even more reason to kill you. And he
I quickly
grabs his plasma rifle.
Technically speaking, I did nothing.
Can I shoot him, or did he raise his gun already?
Go for it.
All right, shoot. Go, bang,
yeah,
bang.
He's about to fire.
Bang, bang, bang.
All right, so you're firing?
Three times.
All right. So the first two shots generally just kind of, ooh, he just kind of, like, winces for a second. The second one, like, causes him to drop his plasma rifle. It gives him a big enough of a shock. And the third one blows a hole completely through his torso.
Thank God you didn't set it to tickle. Good.
And he just kind of...
Good work, Drool.
Collapses. Thank you.
Nice shooting, Tex. Do you want another utility belt for your other pocket?
I would love a utility belt for my other pocket.
For your Mary Poppins pockets.
Then,
this one's got room for the hot dog.
Yay. Utility belt.
Yeah, a utility belt. Oh, no.
All right. Can I check out these super cool ships yet?
Yeah, so you can go out there. So they are... They're basically on sort of three-legged things. They're basically horizontal, almost like, kind of like...
fish things?
Yeah, well, no, kind of more like, almost more like a, just a chair. Like a, basically just a long, flat, silver body with a large half-cylinder darkened glass dome over the top, which, if you push a button on the side, shoop, slides away. To reveal the interior.
Yeah, before Cliffy goes in. Cliffy has a look.
Huh?
Sorry, I was just... Cliffy is having a look. So, Raj, I don't know how to tell you this, but these ships don't have any sort of, like, propulsion or anything. Like, I'm not even sure how these folks even made it here with these. Doesn't seem like they can go anywhere.
I'm sweating a bit. Not sure if I should tell them their true capabilities or whatnot.
You can see, Cliffy, there is basically a keypad with a bunch of strange symbols on it. And there is actually like a little small piece of paper taped to the side with a sequence of five of these strange symbols.
Oh, man, does this podcast have copy protection?
I did give you guys the manual, right?
Raj, I guess I'll just, you know, take this piece of paper. It looks like this keypad might be some kind of password, and I'll just
Cliffy, don't
enter these Cliffy, buttons. Don't. Boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
No, I get Cliffy out of the ship.
yeah, it's just I can't remember the exact spiel for the time pods activating, but this basically you hear some like orchestral music building up, just dun 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 dun. At which point, you're bathed in basically a rainbow light. The canopy is just turns. It basically is as if someone turned the canopy into just a bright rainbow shining in your face. And it lasts for a few seconds, and then you look. It fades away. You look, and you're on the surface of a very kind of dark red planet. Looks like lots of lava and other things in the distance. You can see a volcano off in the far off horizon.
I reach into my pocket, realize I no longer have my lemonade, and go,
I head in the, I get in the other ship and head after him.
All right, you have both arrived in Space Quest 3. You are currently on Ortega.
Oh, hey, Raj.
Cliffy, what did I try? I tried to tell you, and you didn't listen.
Are you talking via communicators, or are you opening the time pod?
I'm not open to it.
Okay.
It's too hot. They don't have the pain.
But, I mean, if you came here, Raj, then I guess it must be okay. I'm just going to, you know, open up the door here.
No, don't. Cliffy.
What was that, Raj? No. I haven't opened.
There is sudden... You're basically blasted with impossibly, unfathomably sweltering heat. To the point that, boy, if you were, if you knew what it felt like, you would say that you were melting.
If only you had one of those drinks.
Yeah, if only you had a spare yellow aid, or perhaps some thermoweave underwear. Sadly, you do not, and you turn into a puddle of bubbling goo as you are melted. All right, we will reload. To sitting in the time pods. You, Cliffy, you do not think. Sorry. So you come back. Cliffy's about. Yep. Cliffy's inspecting.
Raj. I'm just gonna open up this door.
I grab Cliffy by the shoulders immediately, as I tried to do before.
How do you do that? You're in a different pod.
No, he's not in the pod. No. We're back in the parking lot.
Oh, okay. We're back in the parking lot. Sorry. Okay.
Cliffy.
What?
I breathe in. I hesitate. Cliffy, you don't understand. These aren't your normal spaceships. And as I'm reluctantly telling him, I'm not sure if you're going to believe this, but these are time machines.
Cliffy looks at Roger, looks back at the ship, looks at Roger. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I've seen these before. Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense, actually. These are brand new model. Well, I mean, I was thrown off a bit because, I mean, like, this is a brand new model. I mean, there's only, like, 10 of these out in the universe right now.
You would say.
I mean, these look like they must be, like, 10 years old or maybe 20, 30. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you this. They are so new that they don't even exist yet.
Because of time machines, right? That I should have put that together. Okay, well, so bad news then. I'm not sure there's a whole lot that we can salvage regarding parts. I can sort of see.
Here's the thing: you're obviously knowledgeable about these. Are you sure there's like not a single part in there that can like be turned into a warp drive or something that we need to get the other ship up and running?
Beatrice pipes up and says, "Well, if we can't find everything that we need here, our long shot is sending someone into the past or possibly the future. Sending someone into the future to find help. Sending someone into the past to arrange for some sort of transportation to come pick us up any second now."
You wait. There's an awkward pause.
Well, it was nice thought.
We could send someone to the past to remind Roger to bring the EVA pod back in and seal up the hole.
No, you guys don't understand.
So that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Short answer, Raj. I think maybe the salvaging parts from that larger ship might be more. I mean, there's theory about converting a time warp into a space warp, but there's a lot. Unless you had some kind of like trial and error magic reload button that would let us try that like 100 or 1,000 times, I'm not sure we could get that on, you know, the first shot.
Well, have I got news for you, Cliffy?
It involves the process of converting those involves a lot of crossing streams, which is generally not recommended.
Hey.
Yeah, it might corrupt your save file. Metaphorically, of course. This is not a video game. That's just a metaphor.
That's where well the missing played. Number went.
Well, Cliffy, you and I are men of science. We don't, and us as men of science, we turn these theories and possibilities into reality. So let's
yeah,
do
and
it.
Also men of science use the simpler idea than trying to invent new technology when there's an entire ship worth of modern.
Well, well we won't get anywhere in the world of science if we just keep doing what we know.
you there,
didn't we
a
have
really,
some plan?
There's a really, really far-fetched theory, Cliffy, that you heard of that you think if you just try really hard, maybe you could create a warp motivator.
I'll do my best, but I would still need some extra parts, I think, from that big old ship.
Oh, yes.
In the,
yes, we're going to do that anyway.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get to work on this. Why don't you send some folks out to scavenge some more parts? I'm sticking with scavenge. This is just a new thing that I say. And I'll see if I can get this time warp out without blowing us all to smithereens.
Cliffy, you're a good man.
All right.
I all better right. be.
We are we all walking back towards the leaving Cliffy to work on that while we all walk back towards the tank area.
I check on the sure. Goliath crew on the way back in.
All right, they're still totally conked out. They're incapacitated, but they're doing all right. Sitting under the awning there, the reflective awning, and Mary Sue is there. It's just kind of she's using a couple frozen hot dogs to ice the bruise on her head.
Good for her.
And Roger, you look back and you see Cliffy unplug a specific wire. At which point, there's a huge explosion. That just absolutely annihilates him.
Rewind.
All right.
So, Roger, do you think I should cut the red wire or the blue wire?
How about none of the wires?
All right. He twists a valve. He twists a valve to the left. Explodes.
Maybe also, you should come with us.
Also,
how was
I was gonna say that.
It's all right. If you just keep at it, maybe you know, maybe if, a couple dozen more tries.
Okay, rewind.
Yeah, so right. we're just gonna rewind for a couple more times. Just he's like, no, all right. So I think
now turn to
maybe
the right.
If you do it this way. Boom. Sorry. Actually, don't do that. Turn it this way.
Is there any way to use
2 days later?
To help?
Yeah.
2 days later.
We basically spent 2 days of just dying and rewinding, trial and error. And by the end of which, you think that. You think that you've instructed Cliffy through means which he does not understand about this process that only he's ever heard about, how to do the job that he's doing.
Man, Roger, you got a real knack for this.
Yeah, you feel like now you could probably leave him safely alone to accomplish the task.
All right, Cliffy, you understand everything I told you, right?
Everything except how you know it.
Trust me. I could tell you that if I wanted. So, I'm going to leave this to you.
I believe it. Go on. Go on, you little rascal.
Thanks, scamp.
That's not how that dynamic would... That's not what someone who would have been called a rascal called the other person. That's just not how that works even a little bit. Please continue on with the adventure.
Question. How is Spike doing?
Spike, I mean, I don't know. He's been stuffed inside Roger's shirt this whole time.
He's very
so
warm.
Roger, you know, you've been starting to get a little itchy down there. You think the acid is starting to drip a little bit, you know, it's eating away at your skin a little bit, but it's you know, you're fine. You know, maybe move him around. He could certainly.
What's the worst case scenario if I let Spike out?
What's that?
What's the worst case?
You'll have to find out.
Yeah, yo. that's a great question.
I don't want to do another whole other side quest of finding Spike in the middle of this giant aquarium.
It is maybe best to let him out in some other place. Yeah.
When we're back on the ship, Spike, we'll let you out. Don't worry, buddy.
So I think the plan is to have Flo with the mask and the translator go in and talk to the tentacle arm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the if you're going back into the maintenance room, they, you see the two robots with the, who've apparently just opened the who've apparently opened the broom closet, and now there's just this suit of power armor lying face down on the floor. There's a little bit of a kind of a dent in the floor where it landed, and they say, "Hey, you've been going in and out of those tanks. This suit might be able to help you. I think it'll move real slow, but you could probably breathe in it if another one of you needs to do stuff."
Is it my size?
It is, actually.
I'd like to try and put it on.
All right, you put it on. You feel you feel like you could take on an entire hostile alien race with this thing on.
You'll have to settle for the water buffalo.
Yeah, you'll have to. What did that water buffalo ever do to you?
So
knows me.
I try and do an internal systems check, see if there's any sort of try and assess what capabilities this armor has.
Well, it currently says you've got something called a barrier suit, which is fine, but probably not something you'll need. It currently has a capacity of, it looks like it's got a missile.
Okay.
But just one from the looks of it. And aside from that, you don't see, it's got a neat sort of plasma-like grappling hook attachment that you could utilize to potentially grab on to something.
Okay. I'll go into Flo, I'd like to accompany you into the chamber.
All right, come with me.
With the tentacle. All right.
Yeah.
So you're going into there. It gets up to you and it says, "Oh, somebody different. Jeez, you guys have no idea how hungry I am. Have you got anything to eat or drink?"
I hold up my finger. I step
my battery acid.
I got some last one.
You have the
actually. I ask. Yeah. Oh, you okay? Never mind.
Yeah, WD-40 has that. Sorry, what's
unless
up?
We want liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, well, I do have snacks. I do have snacks.
Yeah, we have a hot dog.
Oh, there's the hot dog. Well, Drool has the hot dog.
I also
dog,
have some wax fruit.
I ask Flo to
wax fruit.
I ask Flo to ask the tentacle, "What would you like?" We have options.
Gosh, you know, call me weird, but I could really go for something fizzy and something waxy.
I got some wax fruit, even though I'm not hearing this conversation.
Do I have a communication system in this armor that I could perhaps tap into?
Yes, presumably you can. Cliffy can help. Cliffy helped you synchronize it to the comms.
Nice. All right, so I communicate to everybody else. Could we get some wax fruit from the brick room, please, and a fizzy drink?
You're in luck. I have some right in my pocket.
I head back out, and actually, I advise Flo to head back out and grab those because I don't know. I'll probably crush them in my big hands. Your big hand and probably gun arm.
Yeah, gun arm, yeah.
Avoid it because I'm getting real tired of coming in and out of these airlocks.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful for your hair.
Yeah. But okay, I follow and then I grab the things and I go back in.
All right, so you give it, it grabs the bowl of wax fruit and it scarfs that down. You're not quite, like, it just takes like big just hunk, 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 hunk. You're not exactly sure where this mouth comes from. It just kind of appears whenever it's trying to take a bite, and then it guzzles down. What else did we bring something else in, like soda
Galacticola?
Or anything?
Yeah,
Galacticola. All right, it guzzles that down and it says, 12 full ounces. That's a lot."
Somehow underwater, it drinks the cola.
Yeah, well, I mean, it actually just eats the whole bottle.
You're asking any questions about how a sentient tentacle does anything?
Yeah. And it says, "Oh man, that really hits the spot. Did you come in here because you needed something, or did you just come to talk to me? Because I mean, I appreciate it."
Well, the first question is, are you here by choice? We're looking for a way to leave, and perhaps you could come with us if you don't want to stay here.
I mean, you know, it's nice in here. I don't get food very often. I mean, you know, they feed me occasionally, but it's like, you know, like these weird flakes. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I guess I could come with you if you want. I don't know how much help I'd be. Where are you going exactly?
Well, we need to head back to Starcon, to the nearest starbase or habited planet, and report on the situation that we just came out of before we were sidelined here, and get back to our regular duties. And maybe a small vacation to Roberta Land somewhere in between.
Oh, yeah, interesting. I think I've heard of that place. Yeah, I was, honestly, if I were to go anywhere, I think I'd probably, take up home ownership or something.
Perhaps a mansion?
Now that would be nice, but, I mean, in this economy, I don't know about that. I'd go for anything, even a house owned by a maniac or something, honestly.
Very good. Well, we're also here because we'd like to do a little scavenging. We're trying to get another spaceship up and running, so we think there may be some equipment in the ship behind you that could be of use. And that's our only way out of here.
Oh, this old thing? Yeah, there's probably plenty to scavenge in there.
All right.
Let me take a look. And he kind of, like, hops over. He kind of, like, does, like, a weird, like, hop, like a pshunk, pshunk, and he kind of, like, hops and making this weird kind of gooey, scrunchy sound as he jumps up and down, squeezing in like an accordion as he does so. And then he kind of whoosh, 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 hops into the through the hole in the hull and says, there's a lot of... that's broken. There's some wires here, really, really big, like, heavy-duty cables. There's a... there's several different glass orbs here. I don't know what those are.
I'll definitely get those.
Okay. Some glass orbs start flying out the hole towards you. there's a, he says, is this some kind of a, what is this? He chucks another thing out. It's another, it looks a lot like the missile that you have in your ammo capacity, Beatrice.
I'll take that.
And he says, and this thing here, I can't read this. I don't know what language this is in, but this looks like it might be some fancy piece of technology. He throws, basically a top half of a metal, cylinder at you.
I take it and I read it.
It says, class 17 warp motivator.
Oh. Seems like this is your day, Tentacle. We found what we're looking for.
Oh, man. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Appreciate the help.
I was trying to work here, that one in.
Oh, I forgot something. There's one more thing in here. He chucks one more thing at you, and it's basically like a tablet, a metal tablet engraved on it. It says 5 points.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Does it actually give us 5 points?
No, but it's nice to look at, you know? You wonder what it's supposed to mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a name?
We're so bad at this.
I'm Green Tentacle.
Pleased to meet you, Green Tentacle. My name is Beatrice. This is Flo. If you'd like to join us and travel with us, of course, I'll need to clear it with the captain. But if you'd like to head back with us into the maintenance room, we'll wait there until everything's in order for the ship to leave.
Okay. Sounds cool. Pushunk, pushunk, pushunk. He hops towards the airlock.
And I do the brief introduction of everyone and hello and this is and explain, explain, tentacles? Explain.
Yeah.
Game survive out of water.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, he seems just fine out of the water.
Okay. I was worried about the water before too.
Captain, permission to invite another visitor aboard the ship to be?
I look at the tentacle glaringly and suspiciously, and then I finally say, "As long as you don't smack me again, I think it's okay."
Well, as long as you don't poke me with a stick again, we'll be all right.
Fair enough.
This seems like a fair deal.
I extend my hand to shake his tentacle.
he basically bends forward and just shake, shake, shake. It's he's actually just wet. It's not particularly slimy, oozy. It's just kind of soft and squishy.
Name's Roger. Pleasure to meet you.
Green Tentacle.
Is the tentacle actually green?
Yes.
Bam.
did I never specify that?
You may have. I just couldn't remember.
I could have totally omitted that, honestly. I don't remember.
I was so hoping you would say it's red.
It's a red tentacle.
So am I carrying, I've finished my work on this time machine. What are my spoils? What have I managed to pull out of the...
You've got basically the other half of what you think would function as a warp motivator.
So good news, bad news, guys. Good news is I didn't blow up. Bad news is I've only got half of a drive motivator. I'm not sure if it's the moat half or the Vader half, but unless we have, you know, get this half a warp motivator lying around somewhere, I think we're stuck here.
Well, this tentacle just got us a Vader, so...
Well, wait, okay.
Hopefully you got a moat.
Let me see. No, it says Vader. Oh, wait, no, I turned it around. Oh, this part says moat, and I think... I hold it up and say, oh, yeah, no, that fits. It's a different color, but I think otherwise it should be fine. It's probably just aesthetic.
And then I just look around, admiring all of us coming together and say out loud, I love teamwork.
What?
I love it when a plan comes together.
One of the robots turns to Roger and says, you didn't do anything.
Shut up. I'm the captain, right. So, and I do quick... captaining stuff around here, and that's what I've been doing this whole time.
Yeah, all right. And just as a quick recap, by the way, for everybody. So we've currently got a warp motivator. We've got a whole bunch of other assorted doodads and gizmos and wires. So the things left to do, we need to get the water out of the tank somehow. You need to recharge the power, and then you need to, just kind of generally clean out the ship.
All right.
And then, of course, find a way to, get it out of there.
It's the robots, sir, I think.
Yes, uh-huh.
Do any of those buttons there would be the correct one to drain the water from tank number one, I believe this is?
Listen, I'm sorry, We were specifically not informed how to empty the tanks because they were worried that we would screw something up and do it by accident. Which, I mean, I don't know how effective that would be compared to, you know, knowing how to do it so that we don't accidentally do it. But point is, we don't know how to drain the tanks.
So what you're saying is that you physically can, you just don't know how.
It is possible to drain the tanks. I'm not quite sure how.
Well, there's no time like the present to accidentally drain them now, is there?
I know you're not. You're just some guy who likes ordering people around. But you, the points at Beatrice in the... I think that's you, right? And yeah, you got in the suit. I know you're the aquarium ambassador, whatever that is. I don't think that's a real role, but whatever you are, I know you're important. If you guys want to try emptying the tanks, go ahead, but we're not going to do it. I don't want that to be on my head.
That sounds like just the blank check we need.
I mean, I agree. But would it be better to try to empty the tanks or to float the ship?
The tank is completely full of water, so the ship is actually full of air, like very stale old air, right. But it is full of air.
All
so
right, Chris.
It's just so heavy that it can't.
Yeah, that ship's not going anywhere if it's in water. They're not designed for that.
All right, crew, gather around these computers here.
Let's all press
Roger,
every button
I think
at the same time.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
All right.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
The disco ball come down again.
Yeah, the disco ball comes out again. The music. And all the robots immediately just like, you know, cannot avoid dancing. They're just
so, when I was in the tank, I think at least one of the times I was in there, I had a look at the wall, and I'd have to say that perhaps two or three missiles could perhaps blow enough of a hole. I know it sounds like I'm shouting, but I'm actually whispering so that the robots can't hear me say this. Could perhaps blow a hole in the side of the tank there, and that might be a way forward, as it were.
Well, if I recall correctly, I believe we only have access to one missile. Is that correct?
No, we've got two.
Second missile.
We got two.
Okay, I'm proven
wrong. Yeah, you had one, and then you got
You found one in the. Yeah. You found one in the ship.
Now, as the ambassador for this quadrant, I have to say, I don't want to do anything that is going to irrevocably damage the revenue potential of this new business endeavor for our quadrant, and I don't want it to reflect poorly on us. We are already going to get chewed out for blowing up two spaceships. We might be able to tamp it down to just, I don't know, Roger getting decaptained if we only have one blown up spaceship on our report card when we return. But, I don't know if there's any other way we can do it. I mean, if it's the difference between us getting back, I'm sure Starkhan can expense it. They won't be happy. But if there's anything else we can do, I'm open to options.
Beatrice, Ambassador, is this like an honorable thing where I have to call you by your job title? I'm not high class. I don't quite know. But I'm not entirely sure. Like, even if we could drain the water from this tank, I don't think there's a way to get this ship out of here without breaking some glass, if you get my meaning, if you get my picture.
Well, they had to load the ship into the tank somehow. There's a lid, I assume.
The electrical power seems to be running through the roof, so it's possible that the tanks were basically... the stuff was put in with the tanks, or perhaps lowered in with some kind of a crane, and then the building was built on top of them. So, near as you can tell... The only way to get out with that ship is generally through the side. Conveniently, one of the sides is basically facing out towards the landscape. Is not facing, so one side faces inward, the other side faces outward.
You just face right outside, like,
yeah, just directly outside.
Well, that is too convenient to ignore.
We're not even going to be damaging property. I mean, like, the glass will be broken, obviously. Not fantastic, but also it's not going to flood the aquarium.
And I do think. Suppose there is an ample supply of water on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Some weird bit of deja vu makes me feel intimately familiar with that fact.
I can't help but think that we're just gonna flood the whole area, though, if we shoot missiles at this thing.
Is it outside? You can't flood the entire planet.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to, there is. I mean, if you were so dead set on flooding everything, there is also, you could have blown up any of the tanks. So, I mean, there's not, you could always just blast it outside.
We could do way worse damage than blowing up one tank. We could have blown up all three, but we're choosing to exercise restraint and just doing the one that we need. I feel like we're on the same page here.
I'm so confused.
All right, but I won't be responsible for it. Mr. Drool, would you like to do the honors?
I would love to do the honors.
I step out of the suit.
Shoot at whatever I'm supposed to shoot at.
All right, so you're heading in, and I'm presuming that you are all talking quietly enough that the maintenance androids, whose job it is to secure this facility and its assets, are not within earshot.
Yeah, couldn't you tell I was whispering? I guess we also do like a weird like
team huddle or something.
Well, I was gonna say to get us all on the ship, ready to go. We do like a...
Oh, the fox what is and it? The like the chicken.
Yeah, the fox. You knew exactly where I was going. Yeah, the fox and the chicken and the...
Do it.
And the
do it.
Perfect. Seed or whatever. That's beautiful. That's a great way to do that.
I don't think any of us are going to eat the other. I don't know. Maybe the tentacle.
I don't know. Beatrice does have... But Beatrice has the snacks that might get eaten if they're left.
So whoever has the fancy meteoroid suit or whatever it's called... basically goes with whoever has the oxygen mask and then takes the oxygen mask back to the other people and we all get on the ship.
All right. Yep. And then, so main, just again, to reiterate, so tasks are get the water out. Obviously once you've gotten the whole ship up and running is get the ship out. You also need to restore power to the ship, clean the algae off the windscreen, and then somebody needs to just generally clean things and get gunk out of places that there shouldn't be gunk.
Yeah. Well, we know someone who's good at that.
We should probably
That's true. There is someone here who's good at cleaning.
Or at least should be good, according to his job, previous job description.
Ought to be good. Yeah.
We should also probably save blowing up the wall of this tank for as the last thing that we do in case people get mad.
Aww.
It's a grand finale, Drool. You'll be fine.
No, the grand finale is going to be blowing algae off the window.
Well, the grand finale might be coming earlier than you think, then.
Okay, so we get on the ship. We get everybody on the ship that needs to be. Yep. Well, I mean, like, that isn't going to be doing other things after. I'm going to start cleaning, getting the ship, like, ready to go, start installing warp stuff. I'll use my wrench and screwdriver from my inventory.
And the plunger.
And the plunger,
Plunger. Well, Roger's probably going to need to use that.
Well, no, but Cliff got one, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, Cliff, that's right. Cliffy has one as well. That's
I mean, I would also like to use mine, too. I want to be useful.
All right, you get on over to the you get on over to the ionic particle intake manifolds and start plunging away.
And then there's the algae that needs to be plasmid.
Shoot, shoot.
Yep.
Bang, bang.
One of those was really weak.
Only one? Okay. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Bang.
You nearly, but don't quite. You crack the windshield with that one. That one was really powerful, but fortunately, everything's all right.
So is it clean?
Yep, it is now. well, I mean, it's about to be clean. The algae starts turning from a bright orange to sort of brown, and starts the discoloration starts spreading across the whole thing, and then it just kind of falls off the windscreen.
I twirl the gun on my finger, and then I blow on the top.
The mass of dead algae lands on you.
I cry.
you're okay though. It's very lightweight. It just kind of settles on top of you.
Also, how did you do the gun spinning, blow smoke off underwater?
In the power
with no
suit
mouth.
With style. Yeah.
is there anything else we need to do? Can I confirm that the ship is like functional, or are we missing anything
the
else?
The ship is functional.
I take a moment because I want to make absolutely sure we don't have any unknown passengers. So I make the suggestion to the crew to just check every nook and cranny. And being fresh in my mind, I look to see if they have a cryo chamber in the transporter room and see if anybody's sleeping in there.
They do. It is currently empty. There are no signs of any crew on board anywhere. There is conveniently a nice little spot, a nice little holding tank to put Spike. If Roger,
I do that immediately.
All right. Spike gets upset and hops back out, but fortunately, you remember, you see conveniently there's some antacids nearby.
Here he goes, buddy. We will be out of here soon.
Drop some in there. Pop, pop. Fizz, fizz. And, all right, so now he's shunk, shut in the little cage. He's just kind of swimming about happily inside this little, roughly, you know, 2 cubic foot cylinder.
Our favorite inventory item we never use to open the door to the maintenance room.
Shh.
Closet.
Closet. So, all right. So last things left to do. So we've gotten the warp motivator installed. We've cleaned off the algae. Roger has plunged out and cleaned out the different ionic particle intake manifolds. Woo. So it's just a matter of getting the water out and powering the ship back up.
Do we need to put all the sleepy people on the ship? Or are they just, like, staying here?
Good that you remembered that.
I mean, yeah, that would probably... it'd probably be a good idea. They would probably appreciate it, but it might be
warp them on.
We do have a transporter.
There is a transporter on board the Dyson.
It'll take a couple rounds.
We need it to be working.
We need some electricity.
It does seem to be working.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll pick them.
Well, it's not working right now. You would need power.
Oh, okay. So wait. What are we missing on power?
So you the power cells are almost completely drained. You're running on the barest minimum of reserve power. So the only, I mean, there's actually a couple systems that you could probably try running if you wanted to. You know, basically, like, the comm system just barely works. Obviously, the bilge pumps to get all the water out.
WD-40. Mm-hmm. Remind me about that that analysis you did on the algae. Did it perhaps have any properties that it could suggest it being used as some kind of fuel source?
I mean, it's dead now.
Mm.
That's how most fuel ends up before that's it ends up in an engine.
That's a good point. You think that just electrical power would be the best way to charge things up. And conveniently, and there is a large source of electrical power.
The water buffalo.
Yeah. The water buffalo?
What's going on a limb here?
I don't like that.
I'm a source of electricity.
I don't think the water buffalo would like it either.
WD-40, you do not. You are very incredible, WD-40, a marvel of engineering. You do not have enough electricity in your bones to get an entire spaceship going, I'm afraid.
Don't know until perhaps we try.
I actually do very specifically know the numbers involved in this.
Perhaps this is an opportunity for my warm hot dog to be of use.
Oh.
All right, what does the top of this tank look like? Is it open?
The top of the tank looks like basically like some kind of lightweight metal, like aluminum.
Someone maybe blast a hole.
Did someone say blast?
Can we get the top off? Let me just be clear. Is the plan to open up a hole in the top of the tank, get the high voltage cable, and run it down through the water to the ship?
I mean,
that sounds like a good plan.
You could always get the water out first if to electrically fry yourself.
I'm just saying.
Then we're going to have to do that quick because I have a feeling that people are not going to be too pleased when we knock all the water out of this place.
Should we?
I mean, again, they also probably would be pleased with us pulling to get the water out.
I think we make a hole in the top or whatever, send a good old WD up there so that they're at the ready, and then we can drain the water.
Yes.
And proceed.
All right.
Exactly.
We're going to execute that plan. All right. So WD-40, is Drool blasting a hole in the ceiling, or is
Drool
WD-40?
Drool has already blasted a hole in the ceiling.
Okay, there is already a hole. You come out there, you're like, all right, here's the plan, and you come out and you see that there is just a smoldering hole in the roof of the tank. And you're not sure when it got there. You didn't hear anything, but Drool is standing there looking proud of himself. You go up there.
Kablooey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
yes, fist bump return.
You kind of use your... Nice. WD-40, you use your jetpack, which surprisingly enough does function relatively well underwater for maneuvering. You get up there, and the whole area is even like practically buzzing with high voltage electricity. So you think, boy, it's a good idea we thought over this plan and didn't just jump straight in with these high voltage cables into the drink.
Good work, team. I'm so proud of you.
All right, how are we getting this tank open? How are we getting this water out?
With more firepower.
Are we using the missiles?
Have we not done that yet?
I think we were waiting for WD-40 to be up at the top so that we could do it quickly.
Yeah. I flutter up on there with my majestic
jetpack.
What?
Yeah.
I'm currently emptying a bag of peanuts into my hand, preparing to write "We're sorry" again.
who has missiles?
Yeah, Beatrice does.
Drool does.
Oh, right, yeah, Drool's in the thing. That's right, Drool's in the... I keep forgetting we exchanged hands of who's in the suit.
And I did too. I'm in the suit. I don't even know. All right. I aim my blaster and the missiles at whatever part of the wall looks like it'll be easiest to break.
I would do the bottom so that all of the water goes out.
Yes, agree. Definitely at the bottom. But, like... Yeah. Yeah, the bottom. I aim at the bottom, but not the floor. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
I get you. This text parser gets you.
Bang. Boom.
Yep. You get the little targeting reticle. And the first missile hits, and it shatters the glass partially. There's a big spidering crack. And the second missile punctures a hole through that center of that. It opens up a hole roughly about 3 feet wide. The water starts gushing out. You just hear kind of a quiet beeping, just like beep, 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 beep. Just like some kind of small alarm. It's not particularly loud. You don't know if they can even hear it in the maintenance room or not, but you have no idea. So the tank is now slowly draining. The current is not enough to suck you out or anything, but it is swiftly draining.
All right, we're on borrowed time, and I get ready, WD-40, and I crank a lever that like opens up whatever electrical intake port. I assume it's like a gas station, like a gas pump, like port for a car, where you just like ka-chunk, and the like thing pops open, and there's like a plug that WD-40 can connect to.
Let's go.
Yep. I majestically take my stance and enter that into the correct port.
All right. You plug it in. You hear. As the all of the gauges and computer systems in the Dyson come to life, and readouts start popping up, all sorts of warnings about improperly shut down. Please don't do that. And then the systems all start to come on.
Yeah. Oh no, my flash drives!
All of your they've been improperly removed. The EVA pod, warnings about EVA pods missing. All sorts of other things, but they slowly, as the ship comes online, begins to go away. You see that there is, just to check, has everyone boarded, or are there still people outside the ship at this point?
Have we beamed all the unconscious crew aboard?
Yeah,
we didn't have enough power.
Yeah, so now you've got power, so your transporter and other systems
are
online.
I'm ready to transport anyone, Captain. Just say the word.
Before
the word,
everybody...
do it.
Before everybody comes in, I have a brain thought for sorry for
we could
for
use
Drool.
One of those, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I say, so thinking about how StarCon works, we might be able to convince them that we only blew up one ship today. If we can return the Eureka, how would you feel about rebranding the ship from the Dyson to the Eureka? Just, use one of your weapons to scratch out and just write Eureka underneath, and we can pretend like we brought the same ship home. I'm sure they won't notice.
I like the way you think.
Or just scratch out the name and say, it was a tough scuffle, but we kind of, the name got scratched off as purely cosmetic.
Even
but
better.
It's definitely still the Eureka.
Half the work, I like
just
it.
I know Drool's artistic abilities, and I just, no offense, yeah. Drool, but I don't want to rely on
it. No, I was kind of going to say, all I have is something that can really poke a hole in the ship, and I don't know if that's...
Well, you have a grapple beam, you have a pistol.
Here, take this stick, you can literally scratch it off.
Look, I've got some bubble gum, I can kind of stretch it across at least one of the letters.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know what you could do? I mean, the vacuum of space being, cold and all, but you're always warmed by the lights of nearby stars. You wonder if maybe some sheer frigid cold might be able to strip the paint off. Especially after it's been underwater for so long.
Well, that works quite nicely.
I know someone.
I think I saw them in the break room.
The water buffalo!
The water!
If only
are we
I
ready to fly this thing?
Are we
gonna go buy a whole bunch of frozen hot dogs and start sticking them on the side
Drool,
of the
can't
ship?
You just shoot perpendicular or parallel, rather? To the...
We have a solution, and it's not me.
Yeah.
You've got the nitro...
Yeah.
The nitroglycerin.
That is not what that is.
Famously called nitroglycerin. Look, WD-40 is the biology and the chemistry. I'm the engineering, okay? Let's all calm down a little bit here.
Okay.
as they're doing that, scratching off that name, Cliff, have you locked on the transporters to the crew outside?
Of course, Captain.
All right. Cliff, energize.
The whole crew appears kind of dazed, and they, you know, some of them that are like at least slightly awake kind of like loll their heads and like look around, seeing that their surroundings change.
I help pull them off the pad and off to the side. I also place the staff ID card on the transporter and say, could you beam this back to the receptionist?
I would like to put my hot dog with that, and because I know that you wanted another hot dog.
I also
beam the reception. This receptionist might want to leave. I mean, isn't she stuck here? Look, I'll just beam her on, and if she doesn't want to come, I'll beam her back.
All right, and she.
I've beamed the receptionist on board.
Where am I? What? Huh?
Hi.
So
it's you good, people. What? Yeah. What did you do?
Whoa.
Good news. Just don't worry about it. We found a ship somewhere that you don't need to worry about. And we were just wondering if you wanted to come with us since you were, you know, you said you were stuck here for like 2 weeks.
I guess so. I mean, you don't happen to be going in the direction of Starbase 22, are you?
Exactly.
I don't know my space geography well enough, but I'm sure we could swing by.
We might make a detour to Roberta Land, but we'll make it.
I mean, I'd love to go there, but honestly, I'd just like to go home for a little bit until
we can swing it
here.
The only thing that we ask of you is that you just do not ask any follow up questions about the current situation.
I'm sorry, I need to ask a follow up question. Do we want to bring Butson with us? It doesn't seem like he's has much to do here either.
Oh, I mean, he seemed like he was okay. You specifically said that you were kind of miserable being here, but I can. Hey, Butson, sorry to abduct you without really talking to you or like familiarizing ourselves. We're bouncing.
The targeting was a little off. You actually brought the whole refreshment stand with him.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, heck yeah.
Free drinks.
Yep.
Let's go. Well,
hold on. All the frozen hot dogs you'll ever need.
I put the
Do you want to come with us? We're not abducting you like those aliens in my nighttime program.
But we will be commandeering your
As long as I can get back here in 2 months.
I assume that I don't know why that would not be.
You'll need to drop me off with my. I'll tell you about it on the way. Listen, I got dropped off here. It's crazy. Mary Sue and I were talking about this. We both got our calendars wrong and got the date wrong.
There was a whole backstory that you had that we just didn't engage with. That's
no, you really. I mean, listen. You seemed like you were really. At first you seemed like you were really distracted and really didn't know what you were doing. But then you really kind of seemed to get focused on some kind of big grand plan you've got. So I just didn't question it.
I didn't ask for a review on our performance. Thank you.
As that's going on, I am getting the ship ready to launch.
All right.
Does everybody else need to get beamed in?
Do we want to take the droids with us?
Please. Is somebody going to look after the hamster in the break
room? There's several hundred of them.
We all need something to shake violently.
I feel like if we put all of them on the ship won't even be able to lift off the ground.
All right, I'm ready to fly if there aren't any objections.
I start handing out the remainder of my all but like one or two of my snacks to leave them in the laps of the Goliath crew, hand them out to all of our new visitors, see how Green Tentacle's doing, also give the staff ID card back.
I follow behind Beatrice, handing out the stuff from the concession stand directly.
All right.
All right, everybody get their seats, fasten your seatbelts.
I look at Drool, who is presumably out of the suit now that he's presumably back at his station, and I make a mental note to look up this Matt Royd and mail the suit back once we're to a starbase.
All right.
Flo, Drool, I sit down in my captain's chair. Let's get us out of here.
Aye, aye, Captain, my captain.
I award you 1 point.
Thank you.
Are we fine?
You, I assumingly fire up the engines, shatter through the glass of the tank, and immediately crash into the emergency force field that the maintenance robots are wrapping around.
Da 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 da.
Rewind from death.
I'm sorry, I could not do that.
Oh, it's a shame they never made Space Quest 6.
All right, and then quickly, Roger instructs Flo. He says this strange premonition and instructs Flo to go and hurriedly back to the PA system and order an evacuation before they try and escape.
Yes.
At which point you fire up the engines, you shatter through the glass, you sail away up into the sky, and Cliffy engages the warp drive, and you are now back on your way, disguised as the SCS blank on your way back to Starbase 22. And thus ends our adventure.
We did it.
Yeah.
And completing this challenge earns you 100 points.
Wow.
Your total is 205 out of 300.
Hey, that's not
too bad for a first playthrough.
Next time we'll do a speed run.
Yeah.
I like that entire last
now
part.
We need
was a speed
someone
run.
To go through and make little dings and a little counter for every time we die.
Do we have an epilogue?
No, there is no epilogue. I felt that was just going
Space
to be...
Space Quest 6.
Yeah, Space Quest 6 is
I mean, it ties
epilogue.
So neatly into it. It answers all the questions of what happened between Space Quest 5 and Space Quest 6.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's some kind of other adventure that happens between this and Space Quest 6, we don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that might be... That is something that we will have to think about, I suppose.
Indeed. Any thoughts before we close?
James, thank you for putting this together and bearing with us. And
thank you.
This was fun. This was a lot of fun.
I'm glad to
do some role playing.
Everybody,
again.
Round of applause for James.
Yay!
Thank you.
I wonder how many episodes this is going to be. It's one recording session.
That's going to be a great question. But Joe, I have another question for you. Where are people going to find these episodes?
Well, yes, if you are an enjoyer of Game Cola content, and particularly RPG casts, we first of all have a suite of RPG casts. You can look up Game Cola's Crystallis D&D cast, the Final Fantasy RPG cast, of course, Secret of Mana, and some other incidental ones like Maid, Mario Pringles.
Yeah. I think this one has more in common with the Mario
and the Nancy
Pringles.
Drew's. Mario Pringles and Nancy Drew, I think, are the most similar to this one. But we have a whole bunch of RPG casts on the Game Cola podcast feed, which you can find on any sort of podcast player. Just look for the Game Cola podcast, Spotify, iTunes, all that jazz. We also have the regular Game Cola podcast, monthly video game news and discussion podcast hosted by yours truly. And of course, you can check out our actual internet website, gamecola.net, for all sorts of Game Cola updates and the odd article or two related to reviewing video games and talking about video games, like James has written in the recent past. And we also have the YouTube channel, gc.net, the letter G, the letter C, the word dot, the word net, where we post video editions of all of our podcasts, as well as do live streams and playthroughs like Danganronpa and Ghost Trick going on right now. So yeah, check that all out. Look for Game Cola on any sort of social media thing that you want to look for us, as long as social media still exists and has not yet collapsed into the ether, as it appears wont to do these days.
Woo!
Yes. And of course, the most fun thing you can do, join us on the Discord. Check the links of any sort of podcast description thing that you have access to, or look at the website. You can find links to our Discord, where you can hang out with us, chat with us, and get updates on all the things video gamey that we do and the Game Cola fans do. Thanks, everybody, for joining for this big RPG cast. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, James, again, for hosting.
Thank you, Sierra, and the people who created Space Quest for inspiring this in the first place.
Yes.
Yes.
The two guys from Andromeda, Scott Murphy and Mark Crow. Also, a huge thanks to Trolls, the Space Quest historian, for giving us permission to use his Space Quest music remixes for the purposes of background music and intros and outros. And also, Joe, I need to correct you. This was not an RPG cast. This was an improv class, adventure cast.
Yes, of course.
And to steal your tagline, I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for listening to this. And I hope that you are having a great day, wherever it is, whenever it is you're listening to this podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Depending on your regional accent.
Depending on your regional accent, everything.
Depending on my regional accent throughout the course of a podcast, yeah, apparently.
Depending on Joe's regional accent.
Thanks for listening. As usual, you've been a real pantload.